I suppose some people are more comfortable with saying our lives matter rather than Black Lives Matter, because as far as they're concerned, you know, that carries only one connotation. But this woman says, it looks like a woman who's written me, it says Black Lives Matter when you do not have private medical care money in Barbados. The question is, why are we investing in a hotel and park when the QEH is crying out for help? They say that you have to spend 24 hours to get care and the building is an eyesore. So that's another perspective. Remember, in all of this, we have a system. I don't know how much longer this system will last in Barbados, but for now, it is one which says that you have different people with different views, and those views should be allowed to contend. You may not agree with the view, but it is to be heard nonetheless, so that out of all of that, we can make choices. That's basically what the system that I understand. Mind you, somebody asked me the other day, in the context of Barbados, what is real democracy? And to a large extent, I must say, there are very few people in Barbados today that I hear use that term as a means of trying to maintain the system that we've come along with. I think a very valid question is whether we are sliding away from that, and we are moving more and more in a direction where a sizable chunk of the people in Barbados believe that, you know, democracy doesn't necessarily work. They only see it in the context of perhaps going to the polls. And even there, there are some people who seem to believe that they would be content to even manipulate that to achieve their own ends. So perhaps at some point we could have a further discussion on what is democracy within the context of a country like Barbados today. How has it changed, if it has changed at all, from where it was, let's say, back in the 1960s, 1970s? Down to brass tacks. Hello,
David.
Hi.
Hi. I was before the.
Yes.
I was. Yeah. Paying tribute to the memory of Randy Selman. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that I think a fitting way of honoring his contribution, because he has been a fixture in terms of his business that has impacted lots of us in the community. And his entrepreneurial gifting, I think it could... structure could be set up, perhaps a program in his memory, the Randy Selman business, small business enterprise, a class for young, desirous men and girls and boys who want to perhaps, you know, be vendors or whatever area of enterprise.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll tell you why. I put something to you here that maybe perhaps you can give me your view on. We admire him because he spent, 15 years out there selling nuts?
Well, more than that, because he left school at 15. He was about
more than that. More than that.
Yeah.
All right. There's some other people in Barbados who, in that time frame, even if they started like that, they would have achieved so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues here is, while he was content to work within the system, the question is whether the system did not fail him there too.
Mm-hmm.
But we are comfortable. We are happy to say he is a success, largely because of where he came from. All right? If he had come from another section of this society, then spending that time selling nuts there would have been a failure. But these are some of the subliminal messages that come from all of this. All right.
Well, I think while
so let me make the point. One final point.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if we're talking about doing something in his memory, sure, that something has to be aimed at taking people like him further than that.
Of course. Of course. The truth is that the type of softer skills that he embodied are perhaps that which is lacking in a number of attempts by people of his ilk to move along. And I'm saying that those are the things that we need to capture and pass on to the next generation. So the ability to transcend, being simply a vendor and staying at that location, I'm saying that the sky is the limit. But yeah, there are certain things that we need to carry with
the
us,
man,
things that we need to develop.
The man who was peddling clothes in a van in Barbados, at the same time that he started, got a store now.
Right.
You understand? That person has a store. Or perhaps they may have more than one store.
But you know that there are certain products that we will enjoy in a certain package, in a certain way, and presented in a certain way. Nuts just happens to be one of those things. And the convenience of where he was and the sort of fear that it was. There's certain things that perhaps, if you try to reinvent, may not be as successful.
All I'm saying,
I'm saying that he might have been comfortable with it.
He was comfortable with it. But I'm saying to you that essentially what we must not be comfortable with it.
Right.
We must be asking the question, how much more can we get for people like him? Because
for sure,
he embodied so much that was positive.
Yeah. And David, I think there's a juxtaposition here in terms of a young man coming from the depressed community and impacting the society in the way he did. Then we have those who were charged with his demise, who perhaps are the other side where did the system fail them in terms of what they
chances
they
are they're all victims.
Well, fair enough, but I'm saying that we have a responsibility though to as those who work in the system to create opportunities. I'm saying that
they're scaring the society. Those people are scaring the society.
They
people
are,
people I who want to help them are reluctant to do so because they're scared.
David, that fear is a real thing. But we cannot, if we become paralyzed by fear, our society will collapse. We have to, listen, a lot of these youngsters, they need a guiding hand and they need people bold enough to confront the situations that they're in and show them a better way. I'm not saying that's all, but that's part of the problem. We're not extending ourselves enough. We're not meeting them where they are. We're not showing them the alternative. We have to. I'm saying that those who are charged, let me just make this final point, those who are charged with dealing with in the juvenile justice system or the young at-risk persons, community programs used to be a thing of the past. We've set them aside. We need to go into the community centers, we need to go into the communities and pull, a lot of these youngsters don't read. We used to have reading programs. We used to have programs that would help to develop, in terms of entrepreneur programs. In the community-based programs, and invite older people to help mentor these youngsters. We set those things aside. It does not. It still takes a village to raise a child. We still have to create the context in which that community spirit is built, where community organization is bottom up, and not some program that is arbitrarily imposed when we see things getting away. We have to create the context which our communities take responsibility for their young people, take responsibility for where they want to go as a community, and build the capacity to allow our young people to emerge. That's how we grew up, David. That's what that allowed us to make, see a future for ourselves. We have hopelessness, but hopelessness is only engendered when people can't see a bright light. And we have to show our young people that there are bright lights. We have to create that.
We have to, but I ain't seeing it yet. Because I remember, we go through old tapes and stuff. That there was a program called "They're Shooting in My Neighborhood." I remember going into Eden Lodge, mounting this thing, this discussion program in the 1990s.
Yeah.
When there was so much shooting down there. All right? I mean, it has abated to some degree, but occasionally there will be a flare-up down there as well. And right. what we have seen is this thing has spread from a narrow set of areas to a much broader plane. Now, there are people, somebody said to me, among the things that we should be considering is the culture, the minibus culture that has developed, the ZR culture that has developed in this country, and how that too has transported these people up and down and carried with it a certain behavior. When you listen to going there, you got to listen to the music that they are playing. And when, if not them, the men who playing the music in their cars, when you listen to what they are saying, what the messages in all of this, this ghetto mentality, the feeling that everything is finished, we are no better off than the people who live in the worst part of Kingston and that sort of thing. Even though, in many instances, people have a lot more going for them, but in their heads. They don't see life that way. So how are we going to counter that?
David, this is our Barbados. This is our society. This is the country we love. We have to take it back. We cannot surrender it on the
others. Talk is cheap.
David, I'm saying, that's why I'm outlining to you where we need
cheap.
To start. Get in the community and do the program.
I've been hearing that for years. I ain't getting nowhere.
It calls for people. Listen, I tired. I've been singing this song for a number of years, and I'm tired too. But my reality is that I can't.
This is what I can tell you. This whole problem with the change in the society as a whole, and how we can counter it, this big works. And once it's big works, I think we got to go through. You know who we got to go through for big works, right?
Well, you have to go.
The political leadership. You understand? It is big works. And it has been big works for a long time.
You can be mischievous when you're ready. Don't
yes,
you?
I know.
I expect it is a phenomenon that the political leadership has to address, has to speak to, and I expect that they will. But I'm saying that.
But political leadership tends to speak largely to bricks and mortar, and jobs. But usually, when politicians speak, that's what they talk about, mm-hmm. and that other dimension to life is often given a secondary position, because it's harder. It is much harder to fix that than it is to create a job, you know?
But, you know, the residents of St. George North, who are in the tourist of the election, know. I think perhaps this provides an opportunity for them to speak to this systemic issue of crime and violence in a way that will begin to show the
political
directorate.
I don't get the impression that the St. George North crime and violence has been a big talking point in that campaign. It has not been.
It may not have been the list point, but I'm simply saying though that the in terms of you talked about democracy earlier and how it is affecting people-centered policy, people getting involved in the stake of redressing their own, solving their own problems, and taking back the autonomy.
What's the mechanism? What's the mechanism you're going to set up for that?
Well, I'm saying that we need to build that. We need to build that out. The thing that Ralph Thorne has been in charge of.
You mean that?
Where we look at governance, people-centered governance, and so on. I'm saying that the shift has to take place in people becoming more invested in determining how they will engage. In terms of how governance will impact them, it cannot be the dictates from Bay Street. It cannot be the dictates from the various centers. We have to become more involved. If not, we will.
We have to try different things.
All right.
I agree with that. But as it is right now, we've been talking about these things for so long, and we are not seeing the kind of improvement that.
We gotta stop talking, David, because we dying, our children dying, they're shooting us. If this don't wake us up, and in the honor of Randy Selman, we have to turn and make meaningful changes in terms of how we treat to our young men, how we treat to the opportunities that they're afforded, and how they can see the opportunity to lift themselves up.
I think the critical thing with the Randy Selman factor is to be able to use all that has been said about him, the positive things that have been said about him, in a way that is aimed at inspiring more people to not just try to achieve by making a living, but it is how you go about your life on a daily basis.
His parting shot would be respect. He didn't just say that. He embodied that. His approach. And that's those are the kind of values, those are soft skills that I'm talking about. We need to bequeath to our young people that allow them to see that life is about a community, about serving others and building each other. And I think that once we begin to recover those ingredients, we will begin to redress these social problems that we fear.
All right. Well, I thank you very much. I appreciate this in this discussion. I think we are all reaching for the same thing, to look at these difficulties in a country. We are looking towards the future and anticipating, but if we don't find some mechanisms for trying to reduce these problems, then it is going to be a bigger issue for us further down. And we've watched other Caribbean countries go through this kind of experience. The real challenge here is that there are diverging views on how you get there, what can be done. And we want to be able to just share those ideas and to share them respectfully with each other. And I'm really, for me, the call today from the young lady who came after Corey, I think to me that was worth every minute to hear her articulate what she's seeing on the ground and to share with us how she believes we can try to address this. And more of that is to be encouraged. Thank you very much. This is Don DeBrastack. he didn't realize he was on her. Yes, sir. I'm going to take you off because you seem to be talking to somebody else, and the next thing you know, you'd only get us in trouble. Don't the brass tacks.
Hey, good afternoon, David.
Yes, good afternoon. It's 12:22.
I'll be quick. You're asking for solutions. You yourself suggested one, and you made a reference to what happened when the Grenada situation. But it would have to really take some person who is committed to getting into our schools and trying to return some sense of excellence. I'm not saying that to in any way put down the teachers, but I think that we have lost that environment in our schools and by extension, our institutions. I heard people talk about the young man who, I don't want to make him the plank of my discussion, but how he left school because he didn't, feel what he was having there was something that he wanted for his life. But on the reverse, I know of young men who tell me that one of the things that they look forward to when they get up in the mornings is to go to school, because when they go to school, they feel based on the teachers' reactions to them, they feel that they are part of someplace. There's someplace where they are appreciated. And learning became exciting to them. So if we can recapture that, and even if we got to take
When is the last time you went into the school system to be able to conclude that it is missing now?
Well, the reflection of what is happening, on the ground.
It might be dangerous. It may be dangerous to do that because you may be completely oblivious to the kind of efforts that are made within the curriculum and efforts that are made by teachers as well. I can't say that it is missing. I can say that there are some areas where there's a problem. The school system has faced this problem. There are many, many people in the system who seem to get it right. that is as students. But every year, you take in some children who just are wrongheaded. And there is a problem in trying to adjust their thinking and to work with their parents and that sort of thing. That's really where the problem lies.
Right, and that's where the ministry, you know, comes in. Because, you see, Mr. Ellis, if we are serious, these would not be problems. Because we look at other countries and we see how they can do certain things. Not that all of those countries are perfect.
Example.
But there's a regime, you know, that would target, you know, the children so that they can, 90% of them would come out, you know, with a proper focus on life. You know, but we look, even now with the COVID situation, now they can correct me and tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm still seeing a number of children who are not in school, you know, although the schools are open, but when this online teaching, I can still see a number of children in knocking around the place under trees. Now, were I some person with power in the Ministry of Education, I would have my officers getting a ZR van, getting what other vehicle, liaise with the head teachers, and see where those children are falling down in society and go and look for them. Years ago, you had education officers who came into schools who dedicated themselves to understanding what is going on in a child's life.
But did they have to fear that a father would come and shoot them?
No, but you see, Mr. Ellis, you have to empower. So why is it
or,
that you can't?
Or worse than being shot is for a mother to come and abuse you?
But no, Mr. Ellis, what you are using, you are always finding a plaster for every sore.
No, I'm telling you that the society has changed a lot.
Yeah, but we have then to see how we can change to tackle that society.
Whenever you move to deal with it, then you will get these howls of protest, and you will hear how unfair you are to people because they are poor and disenfranchised.
No. You can't allow that to deter you from doing this, and because you have the law on your side, you have the majority of the society on your side anyhow. Because I'm sure
you're sure about that.
Of course, 90% of the parents and adults would think.
If you were to look very seriously at the attitude of many people, you would be shocked to see the kind of things that they encourage and endorse in Barbados. And, you know, even people in middle Barbados can be very bad behaved and encourage, you know, the wrong approach to problem solving. So I think this does not begin at the bottom. This notion that only poor people misbehave, so you're dead wrong. It ain't so at all. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The time is now 12:46. We go until 2 o'clock. Who's on the line next?
Hi, good afternoon, Miss Alice.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, please. This is my first time calling. How are you?
Pleasure
today?
To hear you. I'm well. And you?
I'm very well, but I have an issue to address, which I believe is very important, and that's the reason I called.
Sure. That's why we're here.
I'm trying to understand how these people operate in Barbados in regards to service. Now, I work in the tourism industry, and we're having issues with getting back the tests for the guests. Now, bear in mind, they opened the borders.
This is a COVID test.
Yes, please, the COVID test.
Mm-hmm.
So the people can come to the country to spend money to boost the economy, which went down because of COVID, and yet they're taking a week to give back the people their results. If they don't have their results, they can't leave their hotels. They can't go and spend money. I have guests complaining up to this morning saying that they want to do this, they want to do that, but they can't simply because they cannot receive their guests. Guests that went back to their island and still have not received their results.
Wow.
And that is so ridiculous and inconsiderate, because the whole reason for the people to come to the country was to spend money in the country.
Well,
so I'm trying to understand how, why something that would benefit us is, why is it so hard just to do that?
That is something for the authorities to give an answer to. I think you have highlighted the loss of revenue that some of the service providers will experience. But there's another dimension to this. I mean, what is the sense of having the COVID test if you don't get back the results? Because the results are supposed to put you in a frame of mind as to whether you are okay or not. I suppose what they're saying essentially is that if you don't get back the result, then you stay put and you isolate yourself until you get something. But I don't know how widespread this is. I mean, you've spoken to other people who raise it as a concern.
So many other people who work in tourism that are losing so much profit and revenue, but essentially the whole of Barbados, because they spend money, they go out and they shop locally.
Okay.
Where is that? Pelican Village, wherever the case may be, but they come here. That's the whole point. So it's very frustrating because all they have to do is give the people their results.
So that's
some of them actually pay for their results and still are not getting it back. That is very unfair and it's not nice and it has to be addressed. And I'm hoping that someone actually hears this because it's a very, very, very concerning issue. And
how does it impact you personally? Are you there?
It doesn't, but yes, I am. That's what I'm saying. It impacts me as a tourism worker where I'm losing profits for my business. Mm-hmm. Because these people cannot come and spend their money with us. That's why they are here. They didn't come to stay in the hotel and do what and just sit down. They want to come to Barbados. And it benefits all of us. That's what I'm trying to say. So
understood.
I'm trying to understand why they're not giving back the people their results. Some care for their results. They go back without even getting their results. But yet they're still traveling. I don't understand it.
That doesn't make sense to me. From what you're saying,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense. It is completely contrary to what should be happening. Because if you are supposed to be isolated until you get your result, how do you reach the point where you leave the island and you don't get it back? I mean, and what happens if that result is positive?
Exactly my point. And from my understanding, they have been tested 72 hours prior to traveling to the island.
Yes.
So all they have to do is wait. Let's say they're here for 10 days. On the 4th day or the 5th day, they would get their second test, whereby they would have at least, you know, enough, like, 4 to 5 more days to enjoy the island, because that's what they came here to do, which benefits the country. And yet it is a whole problem. I mean,
what kind of service do you provide?
Uh-huh. Well, my business, we typically offer the island tour services.
Yeah.
And that is where, obviously, I'm showing people Barbados. That's what they came to see. That's what they came to see. They didn't come to sit in their hotel, you know, especially when they're paying for a test to actually get out and explore the island.
What difference have you seen in business in recent times?
You mean as it regards to getting the COVID test?
No, in relation to having people available for you to take on the island tours.
Well, actually, the amount of persons, I would say, obviously it would have dropped by at least 50%. But now this COVID-19 test has made it even worse. Simply because if it was a case where they were getting back their tests on time, it would be okay because at least there are persons that you can take out or at least, you know, go and spend money on the island because they can leave their hotels. But because of the COVID testing, I don't know what the people are there doing, but they're not giving back the persons their tests. And that is the huge concern that I'm facing and other people. Trust me, I'm calling on the behalf of all tourism workers.
Well, thanks for taking the time.
To deal with these persons. We have to know that we're safe. If they don't have their test saying that they're negative, how would we know?
Yes, definitely.
How would
we know? What is required here is for the the people who are responsible for the testing to share information as to what difficulties they may be facing. I can only assume that they have some kind of problem that is delaying the results. So, I mean, the sharing of information on something like this, I don't see that as a state secret. So they need to say what's going on so that people like you could have an appreciation of what the difficulty is. All right? Thanks for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you, your producer, and your listeners. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah, my area of concern, right? I am wondering, they say that the hospital is only dealing with emergencies, and it's a bit scary, right? Because what is going to happen to other people who have other issues?
Well, the last word I had was that they were trying their best to address that problem, but as you know, there's been this backlog. And in those circumstances, many people have complained that they're being encouraged to go private as the hospital grapples with the fact that, you know, it has not been able to be to function in what was the normal situation.
But everybody can't go private.
Yeah, but the those things, those cases that are considered urgent, they will assess the cases before them and determine to what extent they will kind of prioritize the ones that are serious. We had a difficult environment.
Situation. I understand that. Hello?
Yes?
Yeah. My next area of concern is, I would really like to see the debate, right? But with all those candidates and stuff, but I know that all will not participate, right? I would really like to see their strategic plan and their long-term and short-term goals and how effective they would be and how they're going to deal with those social issues in that parish, right? Because some of these third parties ain't really have all the issues together, etc., right? And if they say that they want to go there and be winners, right, because everybody have a chance, right? But what I am concerned about is that where they're going to get the finance to implement these projects and stuff like that. And I believe the people in St. George already have their mind make up on who they will select, because some people are going to vote party, some people are going to vote in different ways. They're going to be looking at different issues and stuff. Anyway, I am about that no more. In relation to the children, I'm concerned about the children who go to primary school and end up with very low marks and stuff like that. I believe probably it could be a family relationship problem that needs to be addressed, and the Ministry of Education have to identify these children with these domestic problems and stuff, because I can't believe that a child could go to school for so many years and end up with 10 marks. Something got to be wrong. You got to try and get to the root cause to get these things started. Now, everybody can be academics, and everybody can be technical. So we got to decide who is who. They have some students who went to Commonwealth and end up singing and billionaires today and stuff like that. So we can pick and choose for the children, because they know directly which direction they're going to be heading and things, you know. So we need to get these things address.
Okay, ma'am.
What is your...
We've been saying that forever. We need to get these things addressed. We need to move collectively in trying to see how we can improve the situation. And that's what this discussion today has largely been about. The ideas, the approaches that can be looked at. This person says that in regards to the lady who's talking about people taking long to get back their COVID results, I'm wondering where they're going, because I too work with guests and I'm not having that issue. And this person says they are first-time contributor too. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I want to get to a conversation I have with a lady. Facebook or YouTube, etc. First of all, when you were speaking about Gilchrist, I was laughing because one boy who never got a rear bouncing, that was moving down. As a matter of fact, one bouncer brought his career to an end. I think it was Nurse or I didn't nurse or
Seymour Nurse.
Yeah, it was Nurse that hit him. And one particular one, when Nurse is passing to the boundary, right now he got the wicket. And I listened to the radio. You just hear the crowd going wild. I'll never forget that one. Anyway, a matter of fact, first of all, that question that you asked that gentleman, what is grace? That was a masterful question, but that's a different story. That's a story for another day. Now, you're speaking about YouTube and stuff, but I know you want to make a statement. I said this thing about same-sex thing was brought into our psyche through sitcoms. And after you said it, that was very right on the BBC by an analysis which was made. But something we're not all that subtle. And if you ever watch a program called Anxious Murder, you'll find episode 18. That was most blatant. One actor said, no one, when he's speaking about television ratings, he said, no one really wants to hear about what he's going on here. They want to see her macroreddite cheerleaders and the men that day. That was blatant. And I'm surprised that big man, like, he was going to even have that in his program.
All right. Thank you. Some feedback here from somebody who says that this problem of tourists taking long to get their COVID test results is a systemic issue in government delivery of services. 2 months ago, I paid land tax online via the EasyPay website. I was double billed, issued 2 invoices for the same transaction, and my bank account debited twice. I've been trying to get through to someone at BRA, but all calls keep going to a voicemail system that is not set up, says the writer.